Good evening, Norman. Welcome to the Space Show.
Oh, thank you, Andrew.
Most people have heard of the 5-metre optical telescope, the 5-metre Halley at Mount Palomar in America, and probably even the 2.4-metre Hubble Space Telescope. But it seems that with the problems of the Hubble, the future of large telescopes lies on the ground, at least for the immediate future. I believe there's some exciting news concerning Australia in that field.
Oh, yes, indeed. So in the past few years, many things are happening as regards optical telescopes, especially large telescopes. When the 200-inch was finished, the way the whole telescope mounting-wise, as well as the thick mirror and all those things, those technology at those days prevented people going ahead more than the 200-inch telescope. Now, in the past 10 years, things have improved very much technology-wise. For example, we have made a 2.3-meter in Mount Stromlo, Seismic Observatories, where it is a thin mirror, 2.3-meter, and its mounting is completely alt-azimuth mount. It's not equatorial mount, usually other telescopes are. And a computer controls completely the motion of the telescope. It actually, it samples every part of a second of time, and then it feeds in to the movement, both altitude and azimuth, and then adjusts the telescope position. And that's one great thing. Therefore, need not worry about whether alt-azimuth or it is equatorial. Then another thing also is, in equatorial, we always see the image really constant, while in alt-azimuth, it rotates in the focus. And that again being neutralized by means of a rotator, we call them, at the end of the, where the instrument's mounted. And that's also controlled by the computer. And therefore, the idea is whether can we make it bigger? Yes, indeed so. Because alt-azimuth mount is a mount in which a fork is sitting in the floor, and thereby it's very stable. And therefore, you can put a lot of tons of things over it, which normally difficult to do it in, for example, equatorial mount. That's the main reason. And there are attempts, and also attempts in Arizona University, especially in Tucson, to make thin mirrors up to something like 8 to 10 meters size. Already they are made about 7 meters. And there is also in Europe, there is a proposal to make something like 10 meter telescopes. And another attempt also being made in the United States, that is in Hawaii, it's called Keck Telescope. Already it is getting into operation, which multi-mirror telescope, small mirrors, and put it together to make a 10 meter. And each mirror is being aligned together to make one image at the focus. But the fact is that this particular setup is working now, more or less, in Keck. And I have seen it last time when I was in Hawaii. And they were able to be successful in the technology to make a nice image at the focus. However, the thin mirror telescope technology has improved enormously. Now they can make very large thin mirrors one size. I mean, one mirror itself up to 10, 12 meters like that. Therefore, and also the future-wise, we want a large mirror because to go deeper into space to understand how the galaxy formed and how the galaxy are expanding and the understand also the origin of the universe. And therefore, Australia is attempting to go into a project which is going to have something like 14-meter a diameter mirror, which is alt-azimuth mount, and also it's a thin mirror, and also the adaptive optics we are going to introduce into it. But the main problem in that is, where do we put this big telescope? Can we put it inside Spring itself, which already has got the AAT? However, we think that we should put this in the best site in Australia, and by taking the meteorological cloud coverage maps, we find Flinders Range has got a very nice low sky coverage, and we get something like double the clear nights there compared to Siding Spring. And therefore, now the coming months or coming years, we will be doing very detailed sight testing in the Flinders Ranges, see whether how is the seeing conditions, what is the size of the image, and all sorts of things, and how practical it is to put roads to that place and things like that. And it is going ahead, and the project is going to be a sort of a costly project. It's going to be something like about $100 million sort of that level. And I hope Australia supports this project for the future astronomy in Australia. This is absolutely needed.
The Flinders Range, would it be on top of a mountaintop there, or would it be inside the basin? For those who aren't aware of it, the Flinders Range is a huge ring of mountains. Would you put it in sort of like in the middle of the crater, or would you put it on the mountaintop?
On the mountaintop, usually, because we don't want to go down, because our atmospheric conditions will be better if it's mountain ranges. Of course, seeing conditions will be done in many parts there, and we'll choose the best site there.
And you're a long way from the lights of Adelaide and nearby towns, aren't you?
Yes, indeed so. Indeed, that's no problem about light pollution at all there. And also I think we are in between the northern hot climate and the southern cold climate. It's a transition range, I think.
How long after approval of the project, approval of funding for it, could this be built?
It should be something like a few years, at least 5 years, that sort of range. Already we are thinking a plan. Yesterday I showed you the model as such. But let us say within 5 years probably work will begin very seriously.
So we could have one then towards early next century, couldn't we?
Oh, definitely. End of this century itself probably we'll have it.
And that would put Australia in the forefront of world astronomy.
Well, indeed so. And that's very important, not only for Australia, but also the whole world, because southern astronomy is very important, and therefore this may be the biggest telescope in the southern hemisphere at the time.
Well, good luck, Norman, with this project. Thank you for joining us tonight on The Space Show.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.